morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 6th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Still?
Still. I haven't been fired yet.
Yeah. Mike Wilson.
I'm working on it.
I am out of town today, so this is taped before the election, so we aren't ignoring things.
So congratulations to everybody who participated in the election.
Every voter?
Every voter, everybody.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And the
local vote matters the most.
Yeah, you know, it'd be kind of nice if we had more people running for, like, school boards.
Yeah.
With that as a thought. Art quote this morning comes from Victor Hugo. Have courage for the great sorrows of life and patience for small ones. And when you have laboriously accepted your daily task, go to sleep in peace.
I like it.
God is awake. That was a dramatic pause. I thank you for stepping in there.
There you go. You know, with a name like Victor Hugo, that's I wish I had a name like that.
I thought it was with a name like Smuckers.
I'd still prefer Victor Hugo.
Yeah. Well, I'm more of a blueberry jelly kind of guy, so, you know.
Yep.
Oh, boy. So where is the county with the budget? We had the discussions earlier in this year about going around to the communities, getting their inputs, figuring out what's going on. The department's heads had to put together their schedules, their wants and likes and desires and gotta haves. But have you guys voted on the budget yet?
No. The final voting on the budget, I think, is in the third week of June. So we'll have budget hearings. Ooh, I can't remember the first budget hearings, but we're definitely having them on the 18th of June. We're having two budget hearings that day at 9:30. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but
morning
there's
an evening.
Yeah, there's a morning and evening one as well, so there'll be like a 5 o'clock one as well. And then on the 26th, I think, is the when we finalize the budget. Yep. So
that's a long day. You got mornings and afternoons doing the same thing.
Well, on the 18th, that's how we're
going
to do it.
But with the detail of going through the budget and everybody.
Yep. Well, I think the idea with that is to not just be able to have a long day and a thorough discussion, but also really allow the public two different times when they can come in and make comment. Because it is hard for folks to make it to our meetings for a lot of working people, 9:30 in the morning typically. And so sometimes when it's a big important document like this, the evening meetings pop in every once in a while, and this would
sure.
be the case. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I was thinking from your perspective, it's a long day because I would imagine that whatever the elected say in the morning, you replicate in the evening so that everybody's kind of coming from the same point of view.
Yeah.
So the spontaneity is gone, which makes it more taxing. And then you hear from the community yet again about those who, and probably nobody is there who really loves the decision. It's probably the folks who don't like the decision or are trying to persuade you last minute to make some adjustments.
Yeah. And it's usually asking for more for some budget or another. But I don't know. Sometimes we do have long days of meetings. I prefer these ones that have substantive discussions, and it doesn't seem as long to me. Sometimes when it's like a whole series of presentations, those definitely can sort of
put you to sleep.
I don't go to sleep necessarily, but it definitely seems like a longer day than the ones when we're really getting into it, and certainly ones where we have disagreement on our board, which is why you have a board to a certain degree. Those are kind of longish days. Those are, I derive some energy from that.
Is the morning session a standalone? When you break, you guys don't come back until the afternoon or the evening session, rather?
I don't know how this one is set up, but I think that there will be a scheduled break for sure.
So you get you can go out and walk around a little bit and kind of get oxygen. Yeah. Back to your brain instead of,
drinking energy drinks and things.
Hey, you know, whatever it takes, man, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Snickers bar here or there. Okay.
But it's going to be sizable budget. The budget itself, the proposed budget this year is $412 million. So that's a pretty sizable budget. It's increasing by 9% from the year before. So
that's what I was saying. That's a pretty good leap. Now, is that sales tax driven?
It's both. It's both revenues driven and also expenditure driven. And so that's almost pretty close to a $35 million increase in our budget from the year before.
All mandated, or is there general fund monies in there?
Well, I mean, we're into a cycle where we're getting into a lot of capital projects. And so that's that having a lot to do with it. So the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act improvements that we're making around the county, those sorts of things, roads. Then there's our cannabis-related activities for so there's both revenue and expenditures associated with that. Also, we're increasing our contribution to reserves because we need to build up our reserves, our rainy day fund. So that's included in that budget, right? So is that as well. So there's some there's that kind of stuff. So it's
You mentioned the code enforcement or with the marijuana stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I had totally spaced on it. The code enforcement officer lawsuit, the bribe thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's ongoing, so go where you can and where you can't stay
sure.
away from it. Surprise or disappointment, or I mean, how, what was your reaction when you first heard about that?
Well, when I first heard about it, it was internally
not expletives, please.
Right, yeah. The most difficult part is these are personnel issues, right? So there are certain things you can and can't get into. And when these investigations start, you really can't talk too much about them anyway. So
you had a reaction, but we just can't talk about it.
Well, my reaction is complete disappointment in that I don't want anyone my goal is to make government something people want to pay for because they get great service from that, and it's an efficient thing.
Special treatment.
And when stuff like this happens, it definitely is a setback in that regard.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, the budget, the recommendations are there. The CAO has kind of woven her magic web over it, so that it's something that's valid, could be passed without any adjustments. So when you're taking in this last round or last bit of public discussion, or they're actually looking at the document, and you're getting blowback from folks saying, well, I gave you an idea and you didn't use it, how come?
Mm-hmm.
Kinds of responses, or, gee, it's too bad. Do you anticipate much adjustment?
There's typically not a ton of adjustments in these things, because even out of that $412 million, a vast majority of that is mandated programs basically a majority of that is already mandated through the state. We're basically a pass-through for state programs, and we're administering those. And so there are adjustments within that that can be made, but they're really at the staff level.
Your job is not to micromanage the budgets within departments.
Exactly. That is just we sometimes do a little bit here and there in terms of things that are of interest in our districts and those kinds of things. And then we don't micromanage the staff per se, but we may advocate for certain things and within to the other supervisors that these things are important. But we don't necessarily get into it. But we do make adjustments in these budgets for sure. I almost always, not always, but most of the times we're probably getting a bump. We're adding a bump to something that maybe might be more important to us today.
So out of contingency into?
Yeah.
Rather than stealing from or taking from one and giving to another.
I mean, for instance, we are seeing, you know, a bigger interest in our rivers right now in terms of the policies for the Eel River and the policies for the Trinity River and the Klamath. And, you know, potentially the future of the Mad River as well. And so we are allocating. So last year, the expectation is we would be allocating maybe like $25,000 for staff and professional consultants, you know, attorneys and such to help us in terms of how we set policy for, say, the Eel River or the Trinity River. Externally, we're...
So you'll get to that level rather than saying, okay, Public Works, if it happened to be Public Works. Director Madsen, what do you need?
Right. Well, that's kind of what we do. Okay. And then in that process, so now it's probably up to like $65,000, right? Out of $400 million,
yeah,
right? You know,
but it's
still, we have interests in those and we will push sometimes to add some money. See, there is a request. The request is about, you know, for additional funds from the departments this year was about $5 million. And
above and beyond,
and the recommendation by staff currently is to fund about 4 million of that 5 million. So there's still $1 million of requests from staff and departments that didn't make it through maybe that filter, and so there'll be some advocacy that may occur within those, and so you may see some adjustments.
I would think if folks got 80%. Mm-hmm. Cumulatively, of course, but
80%
additional beyond for their wish list,
mm-hmm.
got to be pretty satisfied with that.
Well, that's assuming everybody got that. So,
I know it's not across the board flat and even, but you know, if every department got something, which is probably pretty, it sounds like everybody got a little something.
Yeah, I mean,
there's got to be comfort with that then.
Right. And so certainly the sausage making here, right, happens for a very long time before it gets to this point where you have a proposed budget. There's already a lot of investment programmatically and, quite honestly, people's egos, right, in terms of moving things forward. So moving back from that is more difficult than when it starts. It's
reverse always is.
Well, there's some geeky theory about the it's the cone of decreasing flexibility in terms of, like, as you move down.
You've been reading too much.
As you move down in time.
The cone of what?
Decreasing flexibility. So basically, as people invest themselves into a process, and we see this a lot in development processes, just not just budgets, but, you know, people start with ideas and they start moving along. And unless you come up with either the challenges early on or then the changing direction becomes much harder as you move forward down the line.
So kind of getting entrenched into what was presented rather than.
Right.
Which makes sense, because otherwise you never get to a decision.
Right. Well, so that's kind of one of those things. So that's where we're at the budget.
Okay.
We're, it's...
Everybody feeling pretty good about it, though.
Well, we haven't discussed it, so I can't tell how everyone feels about it, but it seems
the department
like
heads kind of have that sense, and
as CAO. As far as I can tell, I haven't been having, you know, the screaming phone calls or anything like that. So cross our fingers that
no flaming bags of goodies at the front door.
Nope, everything's so.
Oh, well,
so,
you know, that gives you a pretty good sense then that you're kind of on the right trail. Or maybe if it's not on the right trail, everybody understands and is.
Well, this happens every year, so this isn't something that.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a.
Yep.
No surprises, no stunners. Now, what about the airport district and the change there with the Public Works? Is that in mm-hmm. this budget? Is it reflected at all, or is that still out there?
No. There is some of those changes are reflected in the budget. So, and we are beginning to look. We have an interim airport manager, and we are beginning to look for a permanent airport manager. And the process to make it its own department has occurring. So I see that's very positive. There's a lot of great and potential changes coming, and some will be a bit painful and some will be advantageous, and we'll see how it goes.
But it's underway.
Yeah.
which is cool. So,
and there's a need for some changes there for sure.
In this budget cycle, then, are all those changes allowed for? Or is that
no? That's why
something
we have
entirely new. Is it just kind of best guesstimate at this point?
Yeah, that's how budgets are. I mean, they're just best guesses, and we do changes to those budgets at almost every meeting. So.
So again, that's pretty routine, yeah.
We do adjustments. Yeah. I mean, quarterly really is when we do our adjustments.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag, and Lolita Cheese. Mike, looking at some of the past discussions we've had, believe it or not, even though we've been regular gathering here, we're not going to see you for a month or so. Because those other guys are now able to play with us a little bit.
I'm really sad.
Yeah. The concept of rail banking.
Yeah.
The rails to trails and some ripples and stuff that really I don't think have been looked at yet. Mm-hmm. That will be addressed as part of this whole process of exploration.
Right.
But what is the concept of land banking? Mm-hmm. Or of rail banking. You hear about wetlands, and you have to buy this in order to do that. And it's kind of in that same arena, isn't it?
Well, sort of. I mean, we've talked about this a bit in the past. SB 1029, which is Senate Bill 1029, has passed the Senate and is moving on to the Assembly. And it is basically a bill that converts the North Coast Rail Authority to what would be called the Great Redwood Trail Association Authority. I can't remember what it is. It's another A. And that is basically in response to the fact that we have had really no train service in this area for 20 years, and that we have a publicly owned rail asset, which is the rail line. And it's a hodgepodge of actual ownership, of easements, of all these different arrangements, which is not unusual for rail lines. And for tens of thousands of miles around the United States, and many people have gone and seen these places and traveled on them, there's been lots of conversions of those rail assets to other things. Now, the most popular, biggest one is to trails. And the reason that they make great trails is because they're flat. They're already a linear piece of, you know, a real estate asset. They don't have a lot of, the curves in them aren't very, you know,
severe
and all that stuff. So they just make amazing, great trails. And some of them are hundreds of miles long. Some of them are converted into state parks, linear state parks. Some of them are municipal ways. But that's one asset that can be used. In rail banking, what you do is you begin what is called the abandonment process. It begins and then is suspended by a federal statute. And then what happens is there's an overlay over that whole thing by which that asset can be used in the meantime while it waits for rail to return. And that's why they call it rail banking, because it never leaves its primary purpose, which is to be a railroad someday.
So the tracks aren't pulled out?
No, the tracks can be pulled out, because the tracks are, you know, there's no assumption that these two pieces of metal in the ground are the same two pieces of metal you're going to use for future rail service. And there's no assumption that they're going to be in that same location in terms of that same within the inch of where they are. They're not treated
right.
like...
But to put back in return, mm-hmm. don't you need all kinds of environmental documentation? And
yeah.
If it's...
You would have to
so there'd be
rebuild
a huge cost, not only pulling out, but putting in and then doing the...
No,
I
mean, it would be
studies?
It's about the same because if you're returning rail in a current context, and this was just determined by the lawsuit that Friends of the Eel had with the NCRA, which went to the Supreme Court and they rejected the appeal by the North Coast Rail Authority. And basically what was said is that the rail infrastructures, especially if they're owned by the state, have to go through the same permitting process to reestablish themselves because they're creating something new that hasn't been there in a long time.
So it's a void of activity.
Yeah. Right. So, okay. So that's in this case anyway, that's not really the issue. And the NCRA has already done this. They did it for, the timber company in Scotia. So the tracks that go through, the tracks that go through there, those have all been pulled up. They've been paved over, and those tracks have been put into storage. And basically,
kind of like at Willits where it used to cross the highway.
Effectively, it's been rail banked already. There's already a mile that's effectively rail banked in Humboldt County currently. It just hasn't been done under the legal process that's being talked about under this legislation. So. Keeping going back, we keep bouncing around. One of the things that we have to understand too about rail banking is it doesn't mean that you don't have railroads. You can have a railroad on a rail banked piece of property. Rail banking just means that it's preserved for that in the long term, but it allows you to do all kinds of other things. So you can do trails, roads, other infrastructure, trains if you want. And certainly that was that's been a discussion here because there's been a lot of discussion about rail banking, sort of the central part of the NCRA line, say from like Willits to Scotia or Willits to Eureka, and then having some rail activity around Humboldt Bay. The thing is like you can still have that rail activity around Humboldt Bay and have it be rail banked. The hard part is that if you start the abandonment process in the middle, what you're going to do, what could happen is that you're leaving an orphan piece of rail line, which means it's not part of the federal system, which means that is an act of abandonment. So in many ways, rail banking as a tool preserves your ability to actually use the rail line for rail if you want to. I mean, it's no secret that that's a big challenge. People talk about a tourist train around Humboldt Bay as if, well, we'll just do it. But if it was so easy to be done, we would have done it within the last 20 years. And that's just it's a big, big challenge. And one of the main reasons is tourist trains and that sort of stuff are not considered transportation by the funding agencies. And so there's that's not because no one's going to work using it.
So a bike trail is.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But a rail line isn't.
A rail line is if it's being used for transportation, of which tourist trains are not considered transportation.
So functional difference or definitional difference?
Well, there is a pretty big definitional difference in terms of like if it's a tourist train, then you're paying for it. It's like your average person can't use it for their everyday use. Right. Whereas if you're taking a transportation like a bus or a commuter rail, you're using it for your everyday transportation. So there is a big difference.
So like the train from, and I forget the name, from San Jose up to San Francisco, the commute train.
That is transportation.
That is transportation.
Yeah.
That's not tourist.
Right. That's not tourist.
Where the wine train
not considered transportation by the right. So it's not, it cannot avail.
So it's like a vast majority use it for one purpose.
Right. Okay. Right. So like a wine train can't avail of the transportation funds at the state or the
even
feds.
Though there may be a couple of folks that use it to go to work.
Maybe.
It's not vast majority.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right, exactly. And so that's kind of, that is a big difference between, say, when you talk about these trail projects, because people, part of the funding of that is under the idea that people are going to use it as an alternative to the roads, to driving. And so they are actually transporting themselves to and from visiting friends or going to the beach or work or whatever it may be. So it's not purely.
So how are the cable cars treated in San Francisco? Because that's really a combination.
That is really a combination, and I couldn't tell
All
you.
Right, fair enough. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Reminder, this program is recorded not this morning. So we're not dodging the elections. We just don't know what the
I'm dodging results. The election.
Yeah, well, you know, okay, fine. I'm fording it. How's that?
There you go.
Is rail banking something that is acceptable, accepted, normal throughout the rest of the country? Is this something that's a California thing or a
non-California
thing?
No, tens of thousands of miles across the United States. I mean, it is used... I mean, it is used regularly in a lot of places. Like whole state parks. I mean, you have the South Dakota trail that goes from Deadwood to Edgemont. I think it's several hundred miles. I mean, even in Monterey, they're everywhere. I mean,
How often do they come back into rail?
There are a few thousand miles that have come back into rail.
Okay, so it's not.
No.
Window dressing only.
No.
It's legit.
I mean, the most legit part about it is that you would lose those assets completely without rail banking. The thing is when you set into abandonment, I mean, we're fortunate that it's, you know, that we haven't hit abandonment processes so far in what we've seen. I mean, we've had, you know, no rail for 20 years. If we had set forth with this, using this tool 20 years ago, we would have a trail system currently in this county that would be the envy of many, many places. And people would be using it and coming here to see it. And we would never move it back to where we are now. I mean, we've lost a generation of opportunities so far. We would never come back to the place where we are now.
That's a frightening thing. What your whole statement was, it's been 20 years and there's a whole generation that has not heard a train.
Right.
Or
yeah, but it's also
running.
a whole generation that hasn't had the opportunity for, 100 miles of trail in their community that they could be using. I mean, when you say that, it's like talking about the train as if it was a real opportunity, which many of us understood 20 years ago by looking at the data and looking at the reports that wasn't going to happen. And yet we still, based on our sort of cultural bias in our community, decided to cling to that idea for so long. So
it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing evolves out.
Well, let's not skip this opportunity now. Let's not waste another generation and let's move forward.
Thanks for coming by.
This is so
notice
great
I'm not saying
here.
Choo-choo baby. Okay, fine. We're out. See you tomorrow.
See ya.